I'm Joe Seamantle, and this is Raven Conversations. Today I'm joined by Staff Sergeant Ian Wilding and Staff Sergeant Chris Yoder. They are both mechanics over at the Combined Support Maintenance Shop on Joint Base Lewis-McChord. But both of you also just recently competed in the Best Mechanic of the Year competition. It's a multi-state competition. And you guys have been doing the job for quite a while, so I appreciate you coming on and talking about what you guys do for our vehicles in the Guard. So kind of we'll start intro and background on yourselves.
Yeah, I'm Staff Sergeant Wilding. I've worked at CSMS going on 9 years. I've been in the Guard total of 12 years. A little bit of history. I've worked at seven different maintenance shops. Yeah. About three of the seven maintenance shops. Before that, a little bit of experience on the outside civilian world. I worked at the LRC on Fort Lewis for 4 years. It's got quite a bit of maintenance background, so.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty much kind of the same story. Staff Sergeant Yoder. I work at CSMS. I've worked at, I did a little stint over at FMS4 last year, but I've worked as a technician for about a little over 10 years, been in the Guard for about 13, so.
Yeah. And real quick for those that don't know, so, and I'm kind of relying on you guys. There's five FMS shops kind of across the state?
Technically, there's four.
Four shops, which are field maintenance shops across the state. And then you've got Mates in Yakima, CSMS here at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, and right next to it is Utes, which is another training equipment site. Seven shops total. Mm-hmm. And what happens at those shops?
Let's go CSMS and Mates. You can pretty much do anything maintenance related. We're talking like not just vehicles, but all of your electronic equipment, like your PAS 13. So all your radar stuff gets done there. Your weapons, all your allied trades. Pretty much anything that you see in the military that needs support done to it gets done at those shops, at the two big shops. And then Utes does a lot of the strikers and stuff like that. They call themselves the Striker Center of Excellence. And then the FMS shops, they normally handle like 3 to 4 units at a time, so whatever is in that area.
Yeah. So how did you guys learn about the Guard before you came in and started doing maintenance in the Guard?
So I guess I'll take that one first since I got an answer. Two of my best friends that are now retired, retired Sergeant First Class Sean Brady, that worked out at FMS4 for about 13 years, and then retired Staff Sergeant I'm having a blank here. Canfield.
Yep.
I lived with them for a little bit, and they kept going to drill once a month, and I really had nothing special going on. So they pretty much just forced me into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just people you knew. It's just kind of always the answer, it feels like. So.
Yeah. Yeah. For myself, when I was working at DOL in Fort Lewis for that 3.5 years, towards the end when they laid off a bunch of employees, I was kind of looking for a job and thinking about going active duty, and crossed my mind just kind of stay close to home. And fortunately, while I was working there, I had met retired First Sergeant Doug Cook, and he talked to me a little bit about the Guard, and that's kind of what put the bug in my ear. So
So what got you guys into the mechanic world?
Basically, honestly, just being able to not afford to fix my own stuff, have someone fix my stuff, and having my dad and also my father-in-law taught me quite a bit on fixing everything myself, and that's kind of where it all started.
For me, it was I come from a family of hot rodders and people that just couldn't afford to have somebody else do it for them. So I remember as a kid having watch my grandfather rebuild a Volkswagen bus engine on the coffee table, because that's just the way they did it. And I kind of just fell into it, and the love that I have for turner wrenches and stuff.
I grew up, my dad is a diesel mechanic on farming equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I got into it as a kid, and kind of throughout time, I just was like, you know, that's your life, Dad. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
But, yeah, I still enjoy tinkering in the shop, and that's about it. So
Yeah, I got to keep my hands busy. So.
Yeah, you got to do something. So I think I picked up woodworking more than my dad ever did, and so that's what I kind of tinker with. So, I mean, obviously military vehicles are much different than a civilian vehicle. What are those key differences when you guys are working on them that you guys have noticed?
Go ahead. You can take this one.
So, like, older military vehicles are kind of built more, like, more simple than civilian vehicles. I think nowadays, like, with the JLTV and the newer equipment, they're getting more and more, like, electrical similarities with this flying world, so...
So we work on like a wide range of everything from generators to like between him and I and the teams that we have, we work on everything from generators to water buffalos to Humvees and stuff like that. So every new vehicle that we get is completely different from the last. The JLTVs that are out, it's basically like working on 2015-ish
Duramax,
Chevy 1-ton, the running gear that's got underneath there, and then the suspension it's got, they're designed after trophy trucks, so you don't see that out in the civilian market. Even like a 916, which would be like an old Freightliner, is not even close to the same would be like a civilian Freightliner. The government decides to add more and more and more stuff to make it more and more and more complicated.
So speaking of it all becoming complicated, obviously you guys have to learn every new vehicle and everything that is going on. And you both recently placed, I think, Staff Sergeant Wilding, you were number one, and, and Staff Sergeant, you were number four in the Best Mechanic of the Year competition, which was a multi-state competition. Kind of talk about that competition and what led you guys to take part in it.
So actually, I think I got back from JRTC in Louisiana, and Chief Johnson over CSMS had brought it up that Utah was putting on a best or mechanic of the year competition, and I was like, I don't know, but then we
definitely forced him into it.
Yoder kind of forced me into it. So.
If you don't do your DTS, we're doing it for you. Like you don't really have an option because ever since I met him. 10 plus years ago, I was like, that is the best mechanic I've ever met in my life. We joke around and we just call him a wrench. That's what he is. Like, he's nothing. He's nothing else but a wrench. Like, So,
outside at work.
Like, outside of his wife is always making him, got him doing something else. So, and for me, it was more of, well, nobody else has to go, so I'm going. But down there was like 10 different stations. There was 13 different states that were invited. There was 20 something people.
26 different competitors.
And there was like 10 different stations. It involved everything around the shop in general. We did some welding. We did some
torch cutting.
We did did some torch cutting. We did
GCSS Army not training, but some questions and practical exercises.
There was a couple things that I looked at it, I was like, what? Like I was like, this is new to me. There was an electrical section that I'm pretty good electrical, but the questions they were asked, I was like, phew, that's a rough one.
A little bit over the top on that one. But so
was it so for the competition, right, because there was multiple states, you had 20 competitors, was it kind of a surprise that you finished as high as you did, or were you kind of expecting to walk in there and be pretty good?
I think we both walked in there thinking maybe hoping to be like top five, but definitely not thinking we're the best. But
our shop foreman basically told us if we don't come in the top five, not come home.
Yeah, we're not home. They were canceling our authorization. We're staying there.
I knew that he was going to do really well. I always kind of questioned myself, but I had a complete confidence in him easily doing top three. I just figured like the schools that we get sent to, the knowledge base that we have and the stuff that we have at the shop and at home, I just figured that we were going to figure it out.
Being able to know like the principles and how things operate kind of helps out too. So
Talk about the schools real quick, because obviously if you're interested in being a mechanic, and if anybody is watching and interested in being a mechanic in any world, right, whether it's civilian or military, it costs a lot of money. But when the military sends you to a school, you don't pay for it. Mm-mm. What are the schools that you guys get to go to that kind of sets you up to be successful at this?
So on Camp Dodge, Iowa, there's a sustainment training center that offers a variety of different fundamental courses. You have brake and axle, electrical, fuel and hydraulics. Those are kind of basic courses for the mechanic. And then you have more specialty classes for MSD, which is the computer that we use for troubleshooting parts lookup or any procedures. So,
And that's just the maintenance side of it. But we also get sent down to PEC, which is in Arkansas.
Yep.
Which does more of the computer and technical side of it. So all your supervisor courses, all the more advanced, the position you hold courses are down there. But we also get sent to like Oshkosh, which is in Wisconsin, which Oshkosh, a lot of our vehicles are Oshkosh. Yeah. We'll get sent to who makes the Humvee?
AIM General.
We can go to AIM General for the Humvee or CAT for Caterpillar. Pretty much any, like, there's a wide variety of classes and courses that we can go to that all we got to do is ask and wait for money to come in, basically. Yep. We also have people that come to us that we have too. So anytime we get a new piece of equipment, they send representatives out for that too. So we get the chance to do so many schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys already had an interest in being mechanics, and that kind of, I think, was what led you to the Guard. Mm-hmm. So that love and already kind of passion is probably, you know, what helps you in your day-to-day job. But what are those things that you guys then can take back to your civilian sides and be like, hey, I can fix that because I've got training on it from the military? Is there that kind of like...
Oh, absolutely.
As well?
We're basically heavy-duty diesel mechanics. There's really nothing on any of these trucks that would be out of our range to go work at any dealership, any independent civilian shop. We get guys all the time that come from Freightliner or leave and go work at Freightliner. We have a guy that just recently left, and now he's going to work. He works for Honey Bucket, and he goes around and services their trucks, and he makes a great amount of money doing that. And it's not nearly as technical as what we're doing, but. With the opportunities that we get as technicians, if anybody ever wanted to leave, they have everything they need to succeed outside.
It definitely helps build up that resume for the outside world. So,
yeah. If there was somebody watching who was interested in the career field, what advice would you give them?
Take every school that you
every
get.
School, kind of be a sponge for everyone that's above you, to kind of learn from everybody and kind of pick like how you want to be as a mechanic. So,
yeah. Anything else you want to add?
A lot of people ask me like how do I know so much or how do I learn so much, and it's 100% with failure.
Yeah, definitely.
I hold a class that is how to unscrew your screw ups, and it's just the stuff that I've learned over the years because I screw up a lot. You can ask anybody that knows me. I screw up a lot. And it's just by doing that is how I've been so successful in my career. So,
yeah. Kind of learn from your mistakes. So, if you're not making mistakes, then you're not really learning. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys both coming on and sharing kind of your knowledge and expertise and love of working on vehicles. It's fantastic. I still enjoy tinkering around, like I said, you know, my family is a long line of mechanics as well. So I appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah.
If you're interested in the career field and being a mechanic in the Guard, send us a message. We can definitely get you contacted with a recruiter in the field. If you like the video, give it a like. If you want to learn more about the Guard, subscribe for future videos. Appreciate you coming on.
All right.
Congrats again, guys, on the win.
Thanks, sir.
Right. Thanks, sir.